Starting a show now called The Mystic Pete Chronicles, and I'm Mystic Pete. Every week, through interviews with thought leaders, visionaries, and creatives, and stories, music, and humor, we'll do some deep ponders in this time of great change and have some fun. If you'd like more information about today's guests or to be interviewed for the show yourself, I'm at mysticpete.com. Today's show is basically one long interview with two very compelling guests. Winnie Wang and Ji Choi talking about their book that's just coming out called Honoring Darkness. Then at the end, a song by show favorite Felt Moon. This tune is called Silent Perfection, available on all streaming platforms. Stay tuned! It is February 19th, 2022. Mystic Pete here with Winnie Wang and Ji Choi, who are coming out with a book called Honoring Darkness. Hi.
Thank you, Peter. I am Winnie Chan Wang. I am a trauma-informed, licensed acupuncturist, Reiki practitioner, shadow worker, and a shamanic Tao healer. I also teach acupuncture as a professor at the Alhambra Medical University. And today I'm very happy to have my BFF, G.
Yeah, so my name is G. W. Choi. I am a doctoral candidate in psychology and also a talk therapist. I am a shadow worker, a healer, and also an artist.
What does that mean, shadow worker?
I'm going to give it a go. Well, all things are made of yin-yang. That is the law of the universe. We have the masculine and the feminine, you know, cold and hot. If there is light in the world, there is shadow, right? Just picture the Taoist symbol, you know, the black and white fish. Yin and yang always coexist together and they never separate. And if you look at the yin-yang sign, there is the circle in the middle. Within yang, there's yin. Within yin, there is yang. At no point in the circle is yin and yang separate in the sense that there is never a point that's just pure yang. There's never a point that's just pure yin. And if you look at the laws of yin-yang, yin is constantly transforming to yang, and yang is constantly transforming to yin. Yin and yang depend on each other, and yin and yang grow together, right? So in the middle of the day, we have light, but there's always shadow that we can rest under a tree. And in the darkest of night, we have stars that shine the light so that we are never in the complete darkness. What it really means is, if we want to own our light, if we want to be powerful and live our soul's purpose, we must know what is our yin and what is our shadow. Because if we don't know our shadow, we don't know our light. You know, my Taoist teacher, Master Sha, he teaches the Ten Da. The Ten Da is love, forgiveness, compassion, light, humility, harmony, flourishing, gratitude, service, and enlightenment. Now, I, in the book, tell you all the stories. In the beginning of my spiritual journey, I was like toxic love and light. I was spiritual bypassing. I sat and chanted mantras. I was just like love, 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 light, 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 forgiveness, 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 compassion, compassion, compassion. And you know what I did? I end up hurting my, well, now it's ex-husband, but then was husband, and also my children, you know, by thinking that I'm better than everybody else. You know what? If you don't meditate, you are less than me. You know, if you don't chant mantras, you are less than me. You know, I had such arrogance and unworthiness at the same time. And it is not until I did the shadow work that I really look deep into my shadow that I realize I have the same thing as everybody else. I have the same anger, same grief, same suppression, fear, unworthiness or arrogance, egotistical, judgment, competition, comparison, inner drama queen, lack mentality, taking everybody for granted, manipulation, and shame. And so in this book, we talk about the 10 greatest shadow, which is a journey that everybody has to take in order to land the 10 greatest attributes. Now, does that answer your question about what a shadow worker is?
It's good. So I think in traditional therapy, it's understood that we have to kind of not merely look at the light, happy parts of ourselves, the happy people from the happy village. We also have to dig out some of the painful material, and that's what we're calling shadow material. And you've pointed out a rather obnoxious thing of the wellness new age community, where everybody is all preachy and positive thinking and so happy until they call you an idiot on Facebook because you're calling them out or something, and then they tear you apart. And they always end the phrase with blessings, love and light. So yes, so there's that obnoxious quality to some of these communities, this kind of pretend happy face spirituality. And you guys are a little more down to earth. You're claiming the reality of humanity. And the reality is, life is difficult at times. Sometimes it's ecstatic, but both have to be claimed and held. And so you have this book, Honoring Darkness, which you're going to tell us about. And I'm guessing that you're really trying to name this force. You're really dissecting it and pulling it apart. Well, let's talk about the book a little bit.
Yeah, so I have 4 science degrees, and I'm actually working on my 5th one. I'm incredibly nerdy. So what I really wanted to do is give birth to a textbook so that people can look at their shadow in a systematic fashion, right? To lay down a framework where every chapter had exercises, and you can not just own your shadow, but appreciate your shadow. You know, writing letters, discovering our shadow, and really seeing the gifts, that everything is a gift. I talk about, actually, our shadow is part of the way God speaks to us. When we experience anger, there is gift in the anger. You know, there is a message in the anger. So, you know, traditionally, in the spiritual world, we talk about clairvoyance is our ability to see. Clairaudient, our ability to hear. Well, guess what? That pumping, seeing red feeling, that anger that makes you want to punch the other person in the face, that's our clairsentient channel, right? That's our ability to feel. I wasn't in touch with my anger until I was 40 years old. because I was raised and bred as a submissive Asian person, you know, as an immigrant, I was disconnected from my anger. I was expected to be completely obedient. The hierarchy, women were less than men and child was less than parent. And so I had learned to suppress my voice and I have learned to endure and take. And so, you know, there were a lot of me too in my life, which I talk about in the book. So the gift of anger is really protection. You know, these are the red flags. Like, I should be paying attention. This, I should be setting boundaries with whatever the situation is. And so in the anger is the gift. It's alerting us to potential danger. So instead of having a negative relationship with anger, now I have a positive relationship with my anger, which is when I experience anger, I breathe. I pause and ask myself the question, why is anger coming up for me right now? What is the message that my body is trying to tell me? And really deeply listening, because most of us only run around listening to the voice of our brain. But there is the voice of my heart. There is the voice of my liver, my kidney, my shoulders, my lower back. All parts of me are constantly giving me messages. And so in listening to the voice of anger, that's divine protection right there.
So I just want to first point out that we're actually in a bunker 20 feet below the surface of the planet. It's completely quiet in here. It's a pristine audio studio. And when you hear some noises like a leaf blower or a dog barking or a refrigerator going off, we're actually adding that in. This is like, so we have a reality cinema. We just wanted to make it sound as real as possible, just for the listeners. Okay, so we got that out of the way. And so, Wendy, you're saying that these so-called shadow or dark parts of ourselves are very important for us to be powerful people, to protect ourselves. They're not just things to avoid or pretend we don't have or get over. These are vital to our self-interest and our well-being. Well, gee, what about you? Has your life been completely happy with everything sweet-smelling from the day you were born and just absolutely perfect? Or have you ever experienced any shadow, any difficulties?
That is a great question. And I've had a lot of difficulties and traumas in my life. I actually had a really hard time connecting with the light that was in me. And so through honoring my shadows and my darkness, I have been able to not get stuck in them and have been able to process that everything is impermanent. So as much as the pain or the anger or whatever I feel, it's going to run its course. Whatever shows up next will show up. Part of this book is that the beauty of honoring darkness, there is no attachment to light and there is no attachment to darkness or the shadows. It just is appreciating both. But like we've been talking about, you know, in the spiritual community, sometimes there's a toxic positivity. There is sometimes a want or need to only follow the light and not look at the darkness. You know, all love and light, all love and light.
You know, Gia, can you tell the audience a little bit about your story with anger? Because I think it's so funny that it wasn't until I was 40 years old that I know what anger is, whereas anger was your primary feeling go-to because of the trauma that you experienced. You almost use anger as a protective shield and how that actually protected you.
It's funny because Winnie just said, you know, she wasn't in touch with her anger until later in life. However, anger was my go-to emotion, my only emotion that I knew for a very long time. Anger was the reason why I was alive. It made me wake up every day and be like, I'll show you to whoever is you, right? But it's like,
she's pointing her finger.
I had such a drive and determination to prove who I was and prove myself because of my anger. And because anger was my only emotion, I was in a love and hate relationship with my anger. As much as I loved that my anger made me feel powerful and protected me and fueled me, and, you know, I've been able to do a lot of things in my life because of my anger and that drive to be like, I'll show you. But it also prevented me from letting love fully in. It prevented me from being compassionate with myself and with others. It prevented me from being in touch with any other emotion other than anger. Because of this, as anger is my only emotion at the time, and only feeling and my go-to, I became dependent on anger as the lens that I saw everything in my life. And I felt controlled by anger, not anger being just a part of me. I felt anger is me. G is anger. And it wasn't until I really got to honor the pain and the roots of my anger was when I was able to see and get in touch with all the other emotions that there are. And I got to really face, oh, I'm relying on anger so that I don't have to feel shame. I'm relying on anger so that I don't have to feel sad. I'm relying on anger so that I can protect myself from being weak or being taken advantage of or all the above. I had to go through this process of really meeting my anger and not being prisoner to it anymore in order for me to really grow. And so in this book, you know, Winnie talks about how it's a textbook, but it is also our stories. You know, in each chapter, you're going to listen to Winnie's process, you're going to listen to my process. And it's our way of showing how we've done this work, not just telling you how to do it. Not being like, hey, these are the steps that you have to do. There's that. But there's also, you want to see how someone did it? You want to see how two women did this and we're sharing our most painful, our most joyful, all of it, all our stories, because that is the way to show how to do the shadow work, not just tell you how to do it.
Very well put. So there's the love and light people who are pretending they don't have any of this material. For them, it really helps to come down to earth and deal with reality to talk about their pain, their suffering, their shadows. But then there's people who are kind of stuck in anger. You know, you're confiding to us that, you know, you were just some seething, angry, rageful, wrathful being. And I was wondering, because when you walked in, instead of shaking my hand, you punched me in the stomach. So, you know, I was going, okay, you know, so if you're stuck in some really heavy-duty emotions, you can't even get out of it, then doing shadow work can give you some distance, some perspective, then you can get beyond seeing yourself as entirely that, or fear, or worry. I mean, there was a friend of mine who constantly worried, and I said to them, stop worrying. And they didn't even know what I was talking about, because that was the only way they experienced who they were. It was this constant worrying pool. So when I said, they didn't know a piece of their self that was not that. And we all known people like that. We've all known angry people. That's the only way they can process. So it seems like this book is going to help people to get some perspective. Winnie Wang.
One of the great things about this book is I included a lot of different quotes and authors because I'm that nerdy researcher. So I just want to give an example, because one of the method is called the Flip It Around method by Byron Katie. And, you know, she wrote this book. It's basically related to this concept, which is recognize the other person as me, right? So really, when I get angry, it's actually the other person is me. The other person is a mirror of me. So in this book, we do a lot of exercises where, for example, if I say I am mad at Peter, if we loosen the labels and the attachment, I am mad at me. Peter is mad at me. Peter is mad at Peter. So there's actually four permutations of this anger. So why we do this exercise is to see the emptiness of our suffering, because if we are attached to being a victim, oh, that person wronged me. That person is wrong and I am right, and this is my righteous anger, then I'm stuck in my story of anger. But if I am able to, you know, do the exercise, right? I am mad at you, you are mad at me, I am mad at me, and you are mad at you. We learn to detach and not take things so personally. And that is such a gift, because then we look at it and we just go, ha! I created my own suffering. It is the conversations that I made up about who is the victim, who is the perpetrator, and who is the rescuer. My brain assigned these roles about victim, perpetrator, and rescuer. And it is me who put myself in these labels that keep me in the suffering. And so in this book, it's really about owning that I am as much as a victim as I am a perpetrator. People hurt me as much as I hurt other people. And so really, we are all the same. We are all rescuers. We all help people and we all hurt people. And we're really just all humans. You know, in the four agreements, we all just doing our best. Everybody is here to do our best. And so it is in this exercise that we find compassion. When you find compassion for all the mistakes that I made and G made in this book, how you find compassion for us is how you will find compassion for the suffering that you created for yourself. And by owning our shadow, we're not afraid. You know, we're not afraid of what other people say to us. It's kind of like, you know, like a vaccine, right? By doing the shadow work, we get immunized so that we don't care what other people are saying from the bleachers. Because we are busy playing our game in the arena. We're just showing up. We're doing our thing. And by owning our shadow, if other people said, oh, Winnie, you are a manipulative person, I'm like, yes, I am. Thank you very much. You know, if they said, Winnie, you're a very compassionate person, I said, yes, I am. Thank you very much. So basically, no matter people give me praise or criticism, it does not rock my boat, because I'm no longer a people pleaser. I'm not living my life trying to please you. I don't care if you think I'm compassionate or you think I'm manipulative. I am who I am. I am. And I show up in the arena. And that is the gift of doing the exercises in the book.
Winnie Wang can be found at Mindful Healing Heart all over the place. You have website.com, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Yes?
That's right.
Okay. So I wanted to mention, just this is indicative of G's journey. Her IG handle is Joyful GG, spelled J-I-J-I, Joyful GG. So let's dig a little deeper now. Let's take the gloves off. The shadows get really bright, or maybe I should say the lightness gets really dark around the topic of sexuality. So sex. Now there's kind of two branches where I see this gets really thick. And one is in the more literal part of sexuality, which is mating and dating.
Mm-hmm.
And in this realm, it's really difficult right now. It's a difficult time to find a partner. It's a difficult time to stay together. If you go back 100 years or further, there were structures in place that put people together. You may not like your partner, but your parents chose your spouse and that was it. And it was hard to get divorced. But now anybody can choose who they want to be with. But it's all become so complicated with social media and pornography and a lot of deception. It's just a really fraught time for love. So there's all the shadows happening there, and pain and struggle. And any kind of person in therapy knows this. It's like, well, I want to find my soulmate. I want to settle down and be happy. I want to have a nice sex life. And then there's also the part of sexuality, which is a little bit more of a general issue about gender. And that's that the world seems to be generally managed by cruel males. Like right now, Ukraine is about to be invaded by Russia. So Vladimir Putin, I see it as just a basic primary display of, well, primate aggression. We're the same as baboons now and silverback gorillas. It's a guy beating his chest and wanting to bully another country, take something, show the world how strong he is. But this is worldwide. This is just not Vladimir Putin. This is just common around the world where you have these men looking to show their dominance. So at that level, it's a sexual issue. And also the boardrooms are filled with men having dominance displays. Religion is filled with this too. Now, men definitely get the prize in terms of being violent, a dubious distinction. But, you know, in all fairness, women still, well, I would have to say that women are very suspicious of men, and for good reason. But nevertheless, that suspicion is very present. And just to be frank about it, that suspicion leads to a lot of manipulation and deception. So we're not going to compare who is worse, though that's obvious, but this makes the sexual climate, the gender, the sensual experience on Earth very conflicted, with big shadows. Go ahead. Respond. Do we have 3 or 4 hours? No, this is like, I think, at the core of a lot of shadow. Well, G, why don't you start?
You know, we talk about in the book the patriarchy, right? And how, like you said, you were breaking down how what's happening in Russia, what's happening in boardrooms, and, you know, how there's a lot of violence that men create in our world. for me personally, there's a very binary way of how we look at the world, right? So there's men, there's women, there's like even this darkness, lightness, all these things. But when we talk about the laws of the yin yang, the masculine and the feminine both live in all of us, right? You see the masculine and the feminine in everything. And the thing is, the issue is that people have taken the masculine and the feminine and have put genders to it, have put sex or like our genitals to it, and have defined masculine equals men and feminine equals woman. And it's like, well, no, there is masculine and feminine in all of us, men, women, you know, like non-binary, like everyone, right? Every single living person, even nature, has all masculine and feminine within. And so when we talk about the patriarchy, you know, the patriarchy has suppressed a lot of the feminine aspects and the feminine, the gifts of the feminine, the divine feminine in our society. And so the patriarchy has hurt women more than men, but it doesn't mean that men have not been hurt from the patriarchy. If men are expected to never share their feelings, and if they are, you know, ingrained in them that men don't cry and yada yada yada, they suffer from the patriarchy. Yeah, sure, maybe they're not dying like, you know, women are being killed, you know, at the expense of the patriarchy and violence, but, you know, women have also have perpetuated the patriarchy and have suppressed their divine masculine and feminine within themselves as well, as much as men have also done that.
There's kind of a war going on between men and women, between masculine and feminine, in a sense. So as I say, men get the prize for being most violent. So let's just make it clear. Men, you don't get to be violent, period. There's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for battering a woman. I don't care what she's done, you do not hit her. Men, you do not rape women, period. End of story. So let's just, that's where we're starting. Now that said, there's some kind of war happening, and it's not merely women supporting patriarchy. Because we know when a brutal dictator arises, well, there's a lot of women who are on the side, like the United States recently had an authoritarian leader. A lot of women were behind him. A lot of women get behind, like the CEO, now he's doing sexual abuse. There's plenty of women who are riding on his gravy train, who look the other way. So there is that clearly happening when women are supporting powerful men because they get something out of it. I don't know, being close to power, being supported. But there's something else going on, which is even the bigger issue to me, which is causing this primary, like, war in a sense. And that's coming back to what I said. Women are suspicious of men. Now, if you go back 100,000 years, you know, maybe nobody hit each other yet, but women, maybe women started it. Maybe they were the first ones to be suspicious because men are so weird and dangerous and awful to begin with. Maybe they started the battle. It's a ridiculous question. I'm just saying that that suspicion creates a tremendous amount of tension in relationships and in dating and mating. So that's its own thing. Women not trusting men. It's not merely women getting behind awful men. It's women like being strategic and defensive and having all these agendas and doing their best to get their own, you know. And their way is often much more subtle than the way men do it. So they get in their licks, but, you know, it's maybe not so obvious, but it's happening. Anyway, I'm being very inflammatory here. This is probably the end of my radio career. Winnie, talk to me.
So I have a different perspective on this topic. As a woman with over 10 Me Too, and I do talk about rape in my book, a very personal experience. And yes, for a while, I did walk around with men are assholes as my mantra. And I did not trust men. But it is not later that I realized that all the armor that I was wearing did not protect me from being taken advantage of or having my heart broken. Wearing the armor only kept me from having intimacy with myself. And trust is something like this. A bird can relax on a branch, not because it trusts the branch not to break and cause damage to the bird, but because the bird trusts its own ability to fly. So,
Wait, that was such a beautiful metaphor. Wow, okay, good. That's great.
So I don't need to trust that a man won't take advantage of me, because I trust my ability to flourish in this world. I trust my own ability to rescue myself. Right? So remember the exercise. I don't trust men. Men don't trust women. Women don't trust themselves. And men don't trust themselves. So these are the four iterations. So rather than blaming, oh, men are assholes, they rape me and I can't trust them, let's not blame, because that's a disempowering move. You know, if my happiness depending on me trusting men not to take advantage of me, I'm never going to be happy. But instead of blaming the men, I'm going to take responsibility. I trust myself. Right? And if I trust myself, I'm going to manifest people who also trust themselves. And so therefore, I can trust them and they can trust me. So the work is not to blame other people, but to own that I can trust myself. And the other question you alluded to is, you know, who's the bigger victim in patriarchy? And I would like to say, you know, 50-50. Honestly, up until maybe 3 months ago, which is 41 years of my life, I lived my life like a victim, right? Because my mom was a victim, my grandmother was a victim, my great-grandmother was a victim. And you know what? There is a sense of this collective wound in the feminine body, and I certainly vibrated victim. I wanted to be rescued by a man. And man wanted to be a rescuer, and man wanted to be a perpetrator. So if you look at this, it's like victim is powerless, and rescuer and perpetrator is powerful. But it's not actually like that. I have been a manipulative bitch my whole life. And when I am not attached to looking at myself as a victim, I can fully own all the ways that I have taken advantage of men and manipulated them for my gain. And that's in chapter 2.9 in the textbook, if you ever want to read it. I tell you all the lies that I have told, and I do this because from the bottom of my heart, I hope that everybody can graduate from feeling that they are the powerless victim into being the powerful co-creator, the author of their life. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. You know, men get prostate cancer, okay? Like, men have brain tumors. So it's not just women that were disempowered by patriarchy. Men are disempowered also too. The suppression is applied equally to everybody. Well, why are we disconnected from our source power? Why? The reason is because under patriarchy, we have a lot of duality. You know, there's right and wrong, light and dark, and we preferred light over dark, and we preferred right over wrong. We want to be the nice guy. We want to be the sweet girl that smiles. We want to be the nice guy in the knight in shining armor. But you know what? The nice guys are the worst. The nice guys are the most dangerous species. Because you know what?
Ouch.
The nice guys are disconnected from their dark masculine. And that is a very dangerous thing. And in the book, we talk about the dark masculine and the dark feminine. You know, in traditional Chinese medicine, the only times yin and yang separate is when the person dies. So the fact that the nice guys are attached to their nice guy label and don't know their dark masculine is when they cause the most hurt to the women in their lives. It doesn't matter if it's your mother, your sister, or your daughter. I spent 40 years trying to be the best mom, best wife, best daughter. You know what I did? I suppressed all of my authenticity. And I paid such a huge price. Such a huge price. When I denied all of my darkness, it's like dimming my own light. It's like I am making the poison and drinking it myself. When we are born as baby, we are actually whole and perfect. All of us are children of God. All of us came perfect. Perfectly imperfect. You know, I firmly believe that when we reincarnate into this physical body, I chose to be a woman in this lifetime, and you chose to be a man in this lifetime. We signed up for the lessons that we're going to learn in this lifetime. In the book, I talk about the rapist was actually the easiest person for me to forgive. Honestly, because I don't care about him. I never have to see him again. That's the easiest person to forgive. My parents, a little bit harder, but I know they did their best, so also rather easy to forgive. My ex, much harder. And I talk about how hard it was and all the times I pretended that I forgave him, but actually I secretly wanted him to regret dumping me. And let me tell you, that is dark magic. By wishing secretly that he regret his decision, it's like me wishing he won't be happy. And that is deep in my pain body. And when, you know, it was actually one time I was in Big Sur and I connected to the waterfall, and it was through meditation that I saw that I was still resentful and that all the forgiveness practice that I did was not enough and I was still having dark magic. And, you know, it's really funny because on the book, I also talk about all the resources that I use to come out of it. So I talk about all the people I worked with. And in this one particular instance, when I discovered I was secretly harboring, I wish he would regret his decision, was I worked with a healer who told me that instead of forgiveness is to work on reparation. And I didn't actually know that word because we don't talk about reparation very much. I had to Google it. Reparation is when you make amends for doing a wrong. And so then I went on to this, we call this meta meditation, when we send love and blessing to the other person. And it was really powerful. But even then, forgiving the person who so-called hurt me the most was nothing compared to what I had to do to forgive myself. Because forgiving myself is the hardest. Because I am the biggest perpetrator, the person who caused me the most pain, most damage, most suffering than any other person added together combined. So really, shadow work is about stop blaming everybody else. Like, I am the one who caused all of my suffering. The pathway to peace is not to avoid the feeling, but is to experience the feeling. It's like to ride the wave until you get to shore, right? So I want to imagine that you are a surfer and you are in the middle of a 60-foot wave. You could get killed by this really big emotion. The only way out is through. The only way you can do it is to go all in with all of your courage and all of your strength and ride that wave all the way to shore. And that's what I did. And I hope to inspire all of you to do the same with the book.
By the way, we added in that plane going by sound in post. That wasn't actually in this very quiet environment. Winnie Wang, that was inspired, and that was very insightful. Just to back a bit, you did respond to me. I did point the finger at my gender, but I also pointed the little finger at your gender. And you said that, you know, you felt like you were a victim, and you felt like justified in being a raging, as you put it, B-I-T-C-H. So it's interesting how those two can come together. When we feel victimized, we feel like it's just fine to act like a jerk. But then the more important issue, and this is what your book is about, honoring darkness, is that so much of ourself gets wrapped up in these difficult situations and in past pain. And so much of our power is located in these chambers of self, which may be hidden. And by pulling it out of the closet, by wrestling down these beasts of self, by these hidden demons, we become more powerful. We become ourselves. We find our voice. We find our stance. Gee, you get the last word.
I think that in our society, we want someone to blame, right? We so want badly to be like, it's you, all the men, or it's you, some women, or it's you, like, the structure and the government and the whatever the hell, right? The truth is that hurt people hurt people. And so we are so busy trying to like point fingers at who hurt us. That is not the way to freedom, right? So if we all want to be free from the chains of the patriarchy, the pain of being a human being, all of that. Because what we really all seek as human beings is freedom, right? It's true freedom and true choice in how we get to live our lives. And so when we are so busy trying to have someone else be accountable for our pain is when we disempower ourselves. And I talk about this in the book with my experience of constantly trying to have people who have hurt me to take accountability. That has been one of my biggest wounds, is when is this person going to step up and take responsibility for what they have done? But by spending all my energy doing that, I was preventing myself from really being in touch with my own power and also being free. Because in order for me to be free, I had to stop focusing on other people and focus on myself. Even though maybe the pain or the trauma that I have gone through was not something that I did, like it happened to me, that person can't untake the pain that they've already given me. I am responsible for my own healing. No one else can heal me. No one else can take away the pain than me. And so if we all stopped trying to figure out who is responsible for the pain or all that stuff, and actually look inward and see how can I get closer to my own healing and my own freedom, that is how you truly not have to look at doling out, trying to get vengeance or trying to get, you know, justice or all these things. We all have to work together to also try to support one another as each individual is on their own healing journey. We also must work hard in terms of how to show up in society to help our other brothers and sisters and other human beings in this life, right? It's like, what is the point of writing this book? Me and Winnie have said 100,000 times, if no one reads this book, it has still been the biggest gift to ourselves because of how much learning and growing and healing that we have done for ourselves, right? But the point of also putting it out is so that we are also helping others on their own healing journey. We can't do the healing for them, but we can, you know, cheer them on and be like, here is some help, you know, here is some of the, you know, the road that maybe we've paved and we've gone through, and like, here you go. As much as we are responsible for our own healing, that doesn't mean that we hoard the wisdom and knowledge and clarity that we have gained. It's about also spreading that and letting it be of service to others who have also gone through their own trauma and their own pains, because that is inevitable of being a human being.
That was G.W. Choi. Her first name is spelled J-I, and she can be found at Joyful GG on Instagram. Joyful J-I-J-I, like your first name. And then we also heard from Winnie Wang, who is at Mindful Healing Heart, the website, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and they're just coming out with a book called Honoring Darkness, which I'm excited to read. Thank you so much for your time today. It's really, we went deep. A lot of beautiful sharing and confiding and heart. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
its way back home when I run for the door. My mind opens up to who I'm running for. You are the reflection. You are the grace. You a silent perfection.
Coming to the end of the show called The Mystic Pete Chronicles. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. Today we heard an extended interview with Winnie Wang and Ji Choi about their book just releasing called Honoring Darkness. And at the end, a tune by Andrew Bayless' project called Felt Moon. That tune was called Silent Perfection, available on all streaming platforms. We'll be back next week with the best of talk radio. Thanks so much for listening. Mystic Pete out!